Good morning. Over the weekend, a monumental shift in Iran.
This is a very unpredictable situation. In some ways, this situation was unthinkable just a few months or a few years ago. And now you have a U.S. military offensive against Iran.
The Wall Street Journal walks us through the weekend's events. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill want to rein in President Trump's war powers after the attacks. Observers say the efforts are a long shot. And Iranian residents in the U.S. react to regime change in Tehran. It's Monday, March 2nd. I'm Cecilia Ley. This is Apple News Today. It's been an extraordinary few days in the Middle East.
We have hit hundreds of targets in Iran, including Revolutionary Guard facilities, Iranian air defense systems. Just now, it was announced that we knocked out 9 ships plus their naval building, all in a matter of literally minutes.
That's President Trump in a video address posted on Truth Social Sunday afternoon. Over the weekend, a joint U.S.-Israeli operation killed Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and several other senior officials. 3 U.S. soldiers were killed and 5 more were seriously wounded during operations against the Islamic Republic. Trump gave condolences to the families of those who died, but also warned more casualties are still possible.
We pray for the full recovery of the wounded and send our immense love and eternal gratitude to the families of the fallen. And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. Likely be more, but we'll do everything possible where that won't be the case.
Iran retaliated with strikes in the Gulf and Israel, despite losing a significant contingent of its military and political leadership. President Trump decided to launch the campaign in Iran after the latest diplomatic talks between the countries failed to produce a major breakthrough. The weekend's strikes represent a stunning change for Iran's 90 million-plus population.
This is an absolutely seismic series of events that we've seen in the Middle East in the last 48 hours or so.
Jared Malson is a Middle East correspondent for The Wall Street Journal who spoke with us Sunday.
You have the Iranian regime now facing a kind of existential challenge to its authority, lashing out in response, launching waves upon waves of missile and drone strikes across the region, both on Israel and on Gulf Arab countries. That has caused chaos. It has shut down the airport in Dubai, one of the world's busiest, and also caused a surge in oil prices, and really just created a lot of uncertainty about what comes next in Iran, in the region, and globally.
The publication Haaretz reported that at least 9 people were killed after an Iranian missile hit a bomb shelter in central Israel. And Iranian health officials and state media reported that a strike that hit a school in Iran killed at least 153 people, including children. Malson said that as of yesterday, it was unclear how long this conflict and the United States' involvement and role in it would continue.
What we know is that Trump said this would be a major military operation that he says is aimed at dealing a severe setback both to Iran's nuclear program. He said he wanted to raise Iran's missile program to the ground. He said he wanted to, quote, annihilate Iran's navy. What we're hearing from sources is that this is expected to continue for days. Beyond that, we don't really know. What we also don't know is how long either side can sustain this.
President Trump also rallied Iranians who have protested in large numbers against the regime to take it upon themselves to push for longer-term changes.
I call upon all Iranian patriots who yearn for freedom to seize this moment, to be brave, be bold, be heroic, and take back your country. America is with you. I made a promise to you, and I fulfilled that promise. The rest will be up to you, but we'll be there to help.
Yesterday, Iran formed a provisional leadership council to head the country after Khamenei's death. But an eventual long-term successor would be determined by an elected body of senior clerics, a task that has only been carried out once since the establishment of the Islamic Republic in 1979. The New York Times reported that Khamenei, who was 86 years old, had already delegated many responsibilities to the country's top national security official, According to CNN, Khamenei did not have a declared heir. The extent to which the strikes will lead to meaningful, long-lasting change in Iran remains to be seen.
There's basically no precedent in modern history in which a government has been overthrown through airstrikes alone. And that's what experts, military officials, and security analysts who follow these things will tell you, is that it's basically never happened. And so it's an open question going forward as to what will this campaign of airstrikes accomplish, and what will Iranians do whenever it's over.
President Trump said Sunday he is open to new negotiations with Iran, telling The Atlantic, quote, "They want to talk. I have agreed to talk, so I will be talking to them." Meanwhile, it appears conflict in the region has begun to expand. Israel announced it carried out strikes on Hezbollah targets in Beirut, breaking a ceasefire with Lebanon that started in late 2024. Hezbollah said in a statement it launched attacks in northern Israel early Monday in retaliation for Khamenei's killing. Khamenei was a key supporter of Hezbollah. Shortly before the attack on Iran, top congressional Democrats and Republicans, a group known as the Gang of Eight, were reportedly notified by the White House that a strike was imminent. Democrats and a handful of Republicans have since raised alarms over what could end up being a broader war that is carried out without congressional approval. The House and Senate were already set to vote in the coming days on whether to halt further military action in Iran. Democrats like Representative Ro Khanna of California expressed frustration that the strikes took place before those planned votes and with Congress out of session. He called it a, quote, slap in the face. On Tuesday, the Trump administration will reportedly hold briefings for the House and Senate on Iran. Virginia Senator Mark Warner, the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, told CNN yesterday that he hadn't seen evidence that justified strikes like the ones carried out over the weekend.
I think the president has started a war of choice. There was no imminent threat to the United States. So the decision to put our service members in harm's way and bases around the region in harm's way was entirely based upon the president's decision, not an imminent threat to America.
Warner called on the president to come before Congress and request a declaration of war. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Ted Cruz told CBS's Face the Nation that he had encouraged Trump to take this opportunity because, quote, the Iranian regime has never been weaker. Though he also said he hadn't seen indications that the country was close to having nuclear weapons capabilities.
I don't have present-day intelligence on what progress they had made towards rebuilding nuclear weapons since we bombed their facilities. I have no indication that they were anywhere close to getting nuclear weapons because our bombing was devastating.
In an interview on NBC News' Meet the Press, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham justified Trump's decision to order military strikes without a congressional sign-off.
This is a military operation designed to eliminate threats that have existed against our country. What are the threats? Ballistic missile programs that were getting bigger, not smaller, an effort to reestablish a nuclear program that could threaten us in the region, an effort to keep the proxy network alive that has American blood on its hands. He was justified doing this. Every president before him talked about doing it. He actually did it. He has the legal authority to do it. And these operations will continue until the threat is no longer there.
The planned votes to curb Trump's war powers would be the latest test in a largely Democratic effort to prevent the president from further military action across the world without congressional authorization. It will also be a long shot. For years, it has been a challenge for Congress to pass such a resolution because in 1983, the Supreme Court ruled that the president could veto them. That's what happened when two similar resolutions passed during Trump's first term in office. Some Iranian Americans across the country are feeling conflicted about this weekend's military strikes and the killing of Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. While there's uncertainty and anxiety, for many there is also hope and cause for celebration. That's the sound of Iranians in the streets of Los Angeles on Saturday as they welcomed the news that Iran could be on the doorstep of significant changes.
My reaction to this attack is excitement and hope for the Iranian people, for freedom, and democracy in Iran.
Every single people in Iran knew that the only way that this regime is going to go away is that to attack them.
That was Mike Kazzaruni and Sagar Fanisalik speaking to USA Today and CBS News in Los Angeles as they celebrated.
The Iranian community in Los Angeles is the largest concentration of Iranian immigrants, people of Iranian descent outside of Iran.
Karin Patel is a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. She notes that by 2019, more than half of Iranian immigrants to the U.S. lived in California, and about 30% of them are in L.A. County.
The bulk of that community was established here in L.A. in the late 1970s, early 1980s, immediately before, during, and after the Iranian Revolution. But there have continued to be waves of immigration to the Los Angeles area from Iran.
Much of L.A.'s Iranian-American community reside in Westwood, a neighborhood that's been dubbed Tehrangeles. There are recent immigrants, as well as those who have lived in the country for decades. Residents in the area spoke to Patil about how they are feeling in this moment.
There's obviously going to be a diversity of opinions, but the mood for many hundreds, if not a few thousand people who came out publicly yesterday just in this one area of Los Angeles alone was overwhelmingly a positive one.
Patil says she was reporting from a cafe in Westwood on Saturday when people began learning about what was unfolding in Iran in real time.
I was ordering my tea and a man just burst through the door with his phone to his ear, like fist in the air, screaming like Khomeini's dead, all pumped. I sat with a group of men who had heard the news and then, you know, decided to gather at this cafe to be able to just kind of catch up with one another and say, like, can you believe this? And everybody's phone was just rattling all over the table. Texts from friends, family all over the world, just, you know, in shock. It's very much for this community, very much of a mood of celebration. This was something that people had been waiting for, hoping for a very long time.
It wasn't just older Iranians that were excited. Patil says younger generations were celebrating too.
A lot of people I spoke with yesterday were really pleasantly surprised by was how many of their children, their adult children who are born in the United States, who are Americans, who don't speak Farsi, who have never set foot in Iran, how enthusiastic their children were about this news as well. I spoke with a young couple yesterday, both of whom grew up in Jewish Iranian families here in the Los Angeles area. And, you know, they said, we've been raised our whole lives in preparation for this day. That this is, even if you have never set foot in the country, this is still something that we have been waiting for.
Iranians gathered to celebrate in other cities also. The Washington Post notes that enclaves in places like Houston, Chicago, and New York all shared in their happiness, despite still feeling some dread about the future and their loved ones still in Iran. Meanwhile, several anti-war protests against U.S. actions in Iran were also held across the country in cities including Washington, D.C., Milwaukee, and Indianapolis. And finally, a few other stories were following. A mass shooting left three people dead, including the gunman, and 14 others injured at a bar in Austin, Texas, in the early morning hours Sunday. Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis said a man drove a large SUV around the block near the bar and then opened fire through the window. He then parked, exited the vehicle, and opened fire on people as he walked. Police confronted the man, then shot and killed him. Authorities say he was originally from Senegal and has been a naturalized citizen for more than 10 years. The shooter wore a shirt that said, "Property of Allah," and another shirt with an Iranian flag on it, according to the Austin American Statesman, citing unnamed officials. The FBI joined the investigation, and as of Sunday, we're exploring whether the shooting was an act of terrorism, but said it's too early to make a determination. OpenAI stepped in to strike a deal with the Defense Department just hours after the Trump administration banned federal agencies from working with the AI company Anthropic. Anthropic's model was the only AI approved for use in classified U.S. military systems. OpenAI now appears ready to fill that role. Anthropic CEO wanted greater safeguards put in place and said it wouldn't allow its technology to be used for domestic surveillance or fully autonomous weapons. The Pentagon insisted it should be given unrestricted use of any AI deployed for military applications. On Friday, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announced Anthropic is now a supply chain risk, meaning any business that contracts with the Pentagon is barred from working with Anthropic. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman posted on X that safeguards were included in their agreement with the Defense Department, though it's unclear how those measures differ from Anthropic's. Planned Parenthood Marmonte, the largest affiliate of the national health care provider in Northern California and Nevada, is hoping a new slate of unconventional services will help them attract a new clientele and confront a substantial revenue gap. The Wall Street Journal reports those services include offerings like Botox, IV hydration for hangovers, cosmetic fillers, and a perimenopausal concierge care program. Marmonte leaders say the soft-launched offerings, similar to those available at a med spa, help promote a larger mission of bodily autonomy. They're also hoping the new business model can serve as a framework for others to follow. Last year, Trump's spending bill eliminated federal Medicaid reimbursements for the organization's non-abortion services. Last year, more than 50 Planned Parenthood clinics closed nationwide. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Esquire reports on how even though Americans are drinking much less, a lot of people still consume alcohol a few times a week. But with research showing that no amount of alcohol is good for you, many are wondering if it's time for all of us to give up booze for good. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.